Chapter 7. Boils in Hail. The Lord gave Moses and Aaron the command to gather handfuls of ashes from a furnace and scatter it into the air in the sight of Pharaoh. Then the ashes would become fine dust and cause boils to break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Exodus 9:8-9. They obeyed the Lord, and just as the Lord said it would happen, it happened. But the Lord caused Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, and Pharaoh did not let the people of Israel leave. The Lord then sent word by Moses, telling Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave to serve the Lord. He warned Pharaoh that he was about to send all his plagues upon Pharaoh's heart, his servants, and his people so that they would acknowledge that there is no one like our God. The Lord also let Pharaoh know that it was God who gave Pharaoh the authority that he had, so that God's name would be declared in all the earth. There's something else that God explained to Pharaoh. God could have struck Pharaoh and the Egyptians with the very same pestilence that killed all the animals. This would have wiped out all of Egypt, but God allowed the Egyptians to live at that time so that people would know of God's power and his love for his chosen people, the Israelites. I was scheduled to go to trial for first-degree murder in April of 2016. Trial was continued until further notice, because my attorney had requested that I undergo a mental evaluation by Mr. W. Cross Lott, Ph.D. My lawyer then told me that it would take at least 8 months before the evaluation could occur. In September 2016, Dr. Lott evaluated me. On September 11, 2016, the results were sent to the defense, the prosecution, and the judge. In Dr. Lott's report, he declared that I was mentally competent to stand trial. He also ruled out cannabis use disorder and cocaine use disorder by history. He said that I needed no further evaluation or treatment and that I appeared capable of proceeding with the case. There was only one thing in Dr. Lott's evaluation report that bothered me. In the medical part of the paperwork, Dr. Lott said that, according to jail staff, I have a history of being very manipulative. From that point on, I wondered who thought I was manipulative and why they felt the need to share their opinion with others. I realized that there were a lot of people who were against me and that they wanted to take part in my fall. I even joked with shift supervisor Gatton, asking why he said such a thing. Gatton's reply was, "Oh yeah, you slick broom. You real slick. I have seen people with authority, no matter how much or little, abuse that authority for no reason at all. I think that the comments from the staff concerning me were unnecessary, judgmental, and falsified. I don't think that all of them made the same comment, but instead of opposing it, they decided to let it be. I also think that God granted the jail staff the authority that each person possesses, just like Pharaoh, and that God will use all of their actions and opinions concerning me to show how powerful God is, and that he will cause everyone to confess his name, just like Pharaoh." As the Lord God Almighty spoke through Moses, telling Pharaoh that it was the Lord who gave Pharaoh his authority, he also issued a warning that on the very next day, he would cause a very heavy hail to rain down like never before in Egypt. God gave Pharaoh the command to gather all people and animals indoors, because all who were caught in the hail would die. Exodus 9:18-19. Some took heed to what God had said and brought everything and everyone inside, but some didn't, and they let animals and servants stay outdoors. At the Lord's command, Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail mingled with fire. This great hailstorm killed every man, beast, and tree that was outside except for those in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. After all of this occurred, Pharaoh sent for Aaron and Moses, then confessed that he had sinned by not keeping his word and letting God's people go. Pharaoh asked Moses and Aaron to plead his case with the Lord because he had experienced enough. He again said that he would let the people go. Moses let Pharaoh know that he knew Pharaoh would not yet fear the Lord and let the children of Israel leave. Nonetheless, Moses still caused the hail to cease. As soon as it ceased, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the people go. As I have preached the gospel of Christ, damnation in the lake of fire, our urgency for prayer, and the importance of maintaining an intimate personal relationship with God, there have been some who have actually listened and have taken heed. There are some who have attended BEST class all 3 times each week. There are some who have participated in our nightly group prayer circle faithfully, 7 nights a week. I guess they decided not to stay outside and die in the hailstorm like those did in Egypt. I want to talk about one guy in particular whose name is Justin Johnson. Some call him Main Main, but he began calling himself 2 times. Main Main always came to best class. He was so eager for class on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays that he would ask me hours in advance if we were drinking good today, referring to the free coffee, sugar and cream at class time. There has been at least one occasion when I told him that he couldn't have any coffee because of how disruptive he was in the previous class, but he still attended until the end of class. There have been times when I corrected Justin in class for crosstalk or uncontrollable giggling, but he never left class. Even when I embarrassed him to the point of shame, he still sat there. If I used his shortcomings as an example in class, Justin just took it all in and at the end of class, stormed up to his cell in anger. It's as if he felt that he was obligated to be a part of a Christ-oriented class. I may seem a bit unChrist-like in some of my actions, but there were times when I criticized Justin for his lack of music rhythm or for his immaturity. I've called him stupid, and I've even called him retarded, trying to hurt his feelings because he had upset me in some way. God has been working on me and my mouth, but the whole point is none of my actions or words caused two times to quit coming to prayer call each night either. And there was no reward for coming to prayer call, like coffee for class. I've even said to two times, don't come to prayer call if you're not going to be serious while we're praying. He would talk about what others are doing and causing him to do, but he would still come and be serious during prayer. I had the privilege of introducing Justin to Jesus. The first time we met, I told him about Jesus after we watched a movie titled Blink of an Eye and Chaplain Jones's Celebrate Recovery Inside Alcohol and Drug Recovery class. The Spirit was leading me to pray the prayer of salvation with him and another guy named Jelon. We did so, and I began giving them scriptures to read and snacks, although Justin was in a different housing unit. After a few days, the Lord moved Justin to my housing unit on the same side of the fence as I was. That's when he joined us in worship and prayer on a routine basis. Justin was in jail for allegedly shooting a pistol at someone. After months and months of watching guys get indicted, go to court, and then go to prison, and after listening to jailhouse lawyers in here, Justin was convinced that he was headed to prison. He began working out and preparing for prison. Justin even openly said daily that was he going to prison. But unlike others who were not continuous in their worship to God, Justin kept worshiping, coming to class, and trying to sing. I never gave up on him either. One day, the guards just came in and told Justin to pack his things, and he was gone. Maymain heard the word of God, believed it, and took heed to it. In best class, I often stress how idiotic it is to continue committing crime while in jail and risk being charged with another crime. My point was this. What if you are reluctant to beat the charge which caused you to be in jail in the first place, but you are charged with another crime in the process? You will remain in jail. You will repeat the process all over again, and it sometimes takes up to 9 months for each step in the process, from being charged to having a preliminary hearing, from preliminary to being indicted, from being indicted to trial or plea bargain. Here's another point I used to emphasize about staying out of trouble while already in jail. The district attorney does not have to offer you a plea bargain, as some think he is obligated to do. Guys would say, if I catch another charge, then beat the first one, I'll just cop out to a plea, go to prison for a year or two or less, and then be at home. If the district attorney had you on your original charge, but could not convict you, and you end up hitting someone with a weapon, which causes them to need medical assistance, you will get indicted and the district attorney can choose to take you to trial so that you can receive the maximum penalty for that type of assault, which is 20 years in prison. If you get caught with drugs or a cell phone, introducing contraband into facility, there's usually a plea agreement from the district attorney. In exchange for your guilty plea, you can serve 2 years in prison and a couple of years on post-release supervision. If you were not found guilty of your original crime and the district attorney regrets not being able to convict you, he can take you to trial and cause you to receive the maximum penalty, which is approximately 10 years in prison. I talk about this and other subjects in my book Jail, How to Avoid Going, What to Do While You're In There, and What to Do After Your Release. You should read it. Ignoring my teachings and my sound advice, there were guys, unlike Justin, who insisted on doing wrong. Therefore, they have been charged and indicted for other crimes in addition to the crimes for which they were originally arrested. I will now share with you a story about one of my most active group prayer guys and class participants, whom I'll call Lil Barry. Lil Barry, Barry being his last name, knew how to talk to God in front of a crowd. He respected me as the pastor, and he always participated in best class. Although like Justin and others, he sometimes joked and cursed in class or at nightly prayer call. They were all 18 and 19 years old. Barry would not stay out of trouble, though. He continuously fought, got caught smoking, and the worst, got caught with a cell phone. Consequently, the cell phone caused him to be indicted for other felonies. Once, during BEST class, Lil Barry was trying to get into the shower, but he was not allowed to, so he became upset and cursed out the guard in control of our housing until she was almost to the point of spraying him with mace because of his behavior, but I pulled him to the side and tried to calm him down. I didn't want Barry to get sprayed or assaulted, nor did I want him to hit the guard as he claimed he would do, because he would be charged with another felony. There was another consequence of Lil Barry's actions that he had already earned, even if he went no further than cursing out the officer. Shift supervisor Gatton came into the unit and was on the brink of handcuffing Barry and taking him across the hall to the whole solitary confinement, but I intervened. If Barry was placed in solitary confinement, he could not do group prayer or have class with us. So, the situation was resolved by the grace of God. On the next morning, one of the guards came into the pod, handcuffed Lil Barry and took him to the hole. Apparently, Lil Barry had exposed his private parts to the female guard in the tower. I said nothing. I did nothing. At approximately 7 a.m. time began to pick at me. Yeah, you always trying to save somebody. Save him now. I said nothing. I prayed silently that this would not get out of hand. T.Y., as I called Tyrone, kept going, trying to save everybody else. But who gon' save? Don't say Jesus, cause that's a lie. I hope you get the electric chair. He went on and on, talking to the female guard from the prior incident about me. But I kept my peace and got into the shower. Lil Barry had told me that the female guard didn't want him in C-Pod, my housing unit, cause she wanted a friend of hers, who could not be around Lil Barry, to be in C-Pod instead. Barry told me about a plot by someone to put an old cell phone in Barry's cell and set him up to have him moved to a different unit. I don't know how true that part was, but the fact is, nobody had to set him up if he couldn't stay out of trouble. What good is there if you believe that the hail is coming, but you still stand outside in it? After the hail ceased, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he still would not allow the people to leave. So God sent a threat by Moses and Aaron, telling Pharaoh that the Lord would send locusts to destroy what the hail had not completely destroyed. Pharaoh's servant advised him that the land was already destroyed, and that Pharaoh should let the men leave Egypt and worship God. Pharaoh decided to let them go and make sacrifices to God. He called Moses and Aaron into his presence and inquired about who would leave. Moses told Pharaoh that all men, women, children, and animals would go. Pharaoh disagreed and drove them out of his presence. As we neared my trial date, my attorney, Ms. Sanders, told me that the chance of me getting a not guilty verdict was slim to none. She said that were no other suspects to put reasonable doubt into the jurors' heads. In a statement made by my wife's youngest daughter, coerced by someone, she said that I told her my sister was at the house at the time of the murder. My lawyer thought it was a good idea to implicate my sister and throw her under the bus to place reasonable doubt in the jurors' minds and clear myself, although my sister wouldn't get into any trouble with law enforcement. There's no way I would do anything like that. Also, my lawyer told me that if I implicated my cousin Tank, since he has a violent criminal history, that would put reasonable doubt in the jurors' minds and possibly free me. This was bad because Tank had texted me the night of the murder, although I had not read it. I was against this, but my lawyer pursued it. I'm glad that Tank had already taken a lie detector test and was cleared of any involvement and knowledge of the crime. Moses was not willing to leave his people in bondage and enjoy his own personal freedom. I'm not willing to have any of my people persecuted so that I may enjoy my own freedom.